Harper Via and Harper Audio present A Farewell to Gabo and Mercedes, A Son's Memoir of Gabriel García Márquez and Mercedes Barcha by Rodrigo García, read by the author. A note before we begin. An enhancement PDF is included in this audio program. The enhancement includes photographs as well as a chronology of the events of this book and a bibliography. Download the PDF enhancement from your audiobook provider or go to www.harpercollins.com/audio/farewell to Gabo and Mercedes. For my brother. Part 1. Entonces fue al castaño pensando en el circo, y mientras orinaba trató de seguir pensando en el circo, pero ya no encontró el recuerdo. Metió la cabeza entre los hombros como un pollito y se quedó inmóvil con la frente apoyada en el tronco del castaño. La familia no se enteró hasta el día siguiente a las 11 de la mañana, cuando Santa Sofía de la Piedad fue a tirar la basura en el traspatio y le llamó la atención que estuvieran bajando los gallinazos. 100 años de soledad. Then he went to the chestnut tree, thinking about the circus, and while he urinated he tried to keep on thinking about the circus, but he could no longer find the memory. He pulled his head in between his shoulders like a baby chick and remained motionless with his forehead against the trunk of the chestnut tree. The family did not find him until the following day at 11 o'clock in the morning, when Santa Sofía de la Piedad went to throw out the garbage in back, and her attention was attracted by the descending vultures. 100 years of solitude. 1. When my brother and I were children, my father made us promise to spend New Year's Eve of the year 2000 with him. He reminded us of that commitment several times throughout our adolescence, and his insistence was embarrassing to me. I eventually came to interpret it as his wish to still be alive on that date. He would be 72, I would be 40, the 20th century would come to an end. Those milestones could not seem further away when I was a teen. After my brother and I became adults, the promise was seldom mentioned, but we were indeed all together the night of the new millennium in my father's favorite city, Cartagena de Indias. "We had a deal, you and I," my father said to me shyly, perhaps then also somewhat embarrassed by his insistence. "That's right," I said, and we never spoke of it again. He lived another 15 years. When he was in his late 60s, I asked him what he thought about at night after he turned out the lights. "I think that things are almost over." Then he added with a smile, "But there's still time. No need to get too worried just yet." His optimism was genuine, not just an attempt to comfort me. "You wake up one day and you're old, just like that, with no warning. It's stunning," he added. "I heard years ago that there comes a time in the life of a writer when you are no longer able to write a long work of fiction. The head can no longer hold the vast architecture or navigate the perilous crossing of a lengthy novel. It's true. I can feel it now. So it will be shorter pieces from now on." When he was 80, I asked him what that was like. "Now, the view from 80 is astonishing, really. And the end is near. Are you afraid?" "It makes me immensely sad. When I think back on these moments, I am genuinely moved by how forthcoming he was, especially given the cruelty of the questions." 2. I call my mother on a weekday morning in March 2014, and she tells me that my father has been in bed with a cold for 2 days. This is not unusual for him, but she assures me that this time it's different. He's not eating any...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?